He bats with the bases loaded and one out. First pitch. Swung on and absolutely crushed to right field. Cruz going back to the warning track. He's a spectator. Long gone to the left of the bullpen. Grand slam, Brandon Nimmo.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
This place is alive. He has 118 career regular season goals. That's the franchise record. They score again off a caravan in front. Unbelievable. Seth Jones apparently had it ricochet in.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague.
Shangoon is going to inbound. Here comes Van Vliet on the move trying to tie.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan. Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
What is happening?
Just a grown man out here choking before the show starts.
Hey, you can barely breathe over there.
You all right?
No, you're big doing, deal. You doing okay? Need some water? Need some liquids?
No, the liquid went down the wrong pipe.
Oh, I was going to say, you need to knock off the pre-show hot dogs, apparently.
No more hot dogs over there, man. You're pounding hot dogs at 5:15 in the morning. What the hell's the matter with you?
I'm not the one that ate the hot dogs.
God, you a big hot dog guy? Call you hot dog guy on the show now?
No.
Nothing worse than when you take a sip of water and you're just not prepared for the wrong tube.
Not at all. In fact, it's still burning the back
of my
throat.
It still hurts. And then you want to keep coughing, but then you're like, I don't want people to look at me. Why am I coughing for 5 minutes? But
oh, my God.
That's a long duration cough that you just you can't just get over it immediately. It takes a while. Clear that thing out.
Well, we drink.
You can do a lot of. A lot of lows to clear it out.
We drink energy drinks.
We do.
Because I don't, warm coffee does not help me. And
I do both in the morning, but yeah, mostly energy drinks now.
It's very fizzy in the back of my throat right now.
It burns.
Like I can't get it to go away. Yeah. I feel like a cat with a hairball.
You need to go put your mouth underneath the water spick over here and just kind of, you know,
there you go.
Choke some down.
Channeling the pirate.
It's ridiculous.
Mike Leach here this morning.
Take some deep breaths. Take some deep breaths. Clear it out. Turn the mic off as many times as you need. We'll get through this. We're going to get through this together.
I hope we get through it. Damn, dude. I haven't done this since I was like 10.
What kind of energy drink are we talking over here? Are we on a normal Celsius? We got a different kind? What's killing the back of the throat?
I just think it's like there's a puddle in the back of my throat lodged on the false. What is that area? It's not our throat. What's the other one? It goes down.
We got your windpipe, and then you got the esophagus.
Well, what's the one? It's not supposed to go down the windpipe.
Your windpipe.
It's in the windpipe right now. It's in the windpipe. Bubbling.
It's not supposed to go down the windpipe.
It's stuck in the windpipe.
I think there's going to need some aggressive clearing here. I think you're just going to have to let it fly. Just kind of be.
Dare I take another drink and see if that helps?
Oh, you could. It could help clear it out a little bit unless you put more down the windpipe. Then you might not talk until 5:45 this morning. If you double dip the windpipe this early.
I think that did it.
Now, why does that happen? Why does it randomly go down the windpipe?
I don't know. Why are there
two pipes? Is it a leakage? Is it like, am I not swallowing correctly? Is it a user error?
Well, no.
How does it leak down there?
There's a valve back there or something that directs stuff. But if you're breathing, obviously, if you try to breathe, if you inhale while you are drinking, it opens
that's what
the
it
windpipe.
Felt like.
So if you inhale while taking the sip, it can open up the passageway.
It felt like I had sucked it down the windpipe. When you had looked up on the TV, you said, oh, Passon's into wrestling. I had just taken a breath and it was in my mouth, and then I went,
it's not getting over that.
Not great.
It's so deep. It's so long.
Yeah, well,
you know,
it's in liquid form at least.
R.I.P. Sprague's windpipe this morning.
Yeah. I had a random carryover question from yesterday.
Yeah, what do you got?
And I don't know who started this.
Ooh.
Why this started. This happens every, feels like 2 years. These questions, these ridiculous questions out of nowhere on the internet. There was a question asked yesterday. Again, I don't know the origin or backstory of it.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh.
Could 100 men
I know what you're talking
beat
about.
A gorilla?
I think it was a random tweet. I think somebody randomly...
Just random person?
Somebody randomly tweeted, if we all work together and we're about the mission, I think we could take out one gorilla.
Right.
That then led to a feminist seeing that and saying, this is what's wrong with men. And she had a viral tweet, quote tweeting the tweet, and that also went viral.
Why, so what's wrong with men? What does that have to do with men?
There were dual tweets that went viral.
That were curious to
on the same
things?
Topic that then led more men to jump in and be like, no, this is a rational debate that we have all the time.
I do stuff like this all the
could
time.
Could we take out animals, 100 men versus one gorilla?
Well, I saw a big hawk yesterday on a video. I was getting ready for our FUP date. And there was a video of a hawk, and it was in slow-mo, and it was landing, and it had its massive talons out.
Big talons.
And I'm like, I don't think I could beat that hawk in a fight.
No, I don't think you could either.
Because
it'd fly away,
it'd
come down. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to have a gun. That's the only chance you would
have. Yeah, but if I didn't have a weapon.
But if you're hand-to-hand or hand-to-talon combat, there's no chance you could take out the hawk.
Right.
Now, how many, an eagle.
How many people die in the gorilla fight?
I don't know if 100 men could do it. I think there's
100% they could.
You think they could?
100 men?
I think one punch from a gorilla could kill you.
Yeah, they could also rip your limbs off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what was the question? If we're all in on the mission?
If we're all in on the mission.
You ever watch Ants or Bees Attack?
How many sacrifice
themselves?
How many first waves have to go until we finally get the gorilla down?
We're not waving. We're just at one time. We're
everybody
all ganging
bull rushing?
Up. Yes. And then all that weight pins him down. And now we're gouging his
How do we
eyes?
Kill him with our hands? We got to choke him out.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only way.
You get like nine guys. It's
get a
like,
gorilla in a chokehold? I don't know if that's going to work.
The arm is around the neck, right? The arms are being held, the gorilla's arms. So then somebody puts their arm around the neck, and then somebody holds that guy. They pull him back. Then somebody holds that guy. They pull him back. Now there's like 30 people choking that gorilla.
The gorillas are, on average, estimated to be 4 to 10 times stronger than the average man.
Right.
The average human.
Right. So average man.
An average man.
Now do that with 100 men and tell me who's more strong.
Here's the other caveat that you got to add to this. In your wave of 100 men that's going to come at this, you're going to obviously bull rush him. How many of those 100 men are useless?
If I gave you 100 Schultzes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How many of them are like, that guy's not doing anything, whether he's choking out. Like, I'm this way in the fight. Like, I got a decent base. I got a good, strong lower body. I don't know if that's doing anything to help take out a gorilla. I'd be useless. I'd be one of the first people
How
in the
much
early
Dutch
wave.
Brothers has that crew had before?
Yeah, that's true. How many double kicker extra larges have they drank before the fight? There's caveats to this. Like, not everybody's going to be Jason Sakanik in your 100 men group. There's going to be some useless men in there. If you're going average male, 100 of them. You're maybe going to get 20 strongs, 20 averages. You got to have 20 fats and then, you know, kind
20 of corn pops.
20 corn pops in there. So half your men are useless. Half of them are just out. They have no chance to do anything again. If you give me 100 Jason Sakaniks, yes, I think the men could take out a gorilla, but not a lot of people are built that big.
Why do I have the image of 100 Schultzes lined up at the same time sipping their quadruple XL
chugging it just
Dutch
to get
Bros at the same time? You know that straw noise
playing
when
Joker
it's empty?
And the thief in their head
it drops. Let's do this.
Mortal Kombat.
All right, 100 Joe Fishers.
No chance.
No chance. No. 100 use.
No, zero chance.
Really?
Zero chance I could kill a gorilla with 100 of me.
Nope. I don't want to ask about swag.
No, man, body.
You saw him trying to squat 300 pounds. You think a gorilla's going to struggle to squat 300 pounds? He'd laugh at you. He'd live with his pinky.
I think I would die, but I do think 100 me's, that gorilla's limping home. We're doing
it's
something.
At least wounded.
Dude, that gorilla's
I
gone
scratched
home.
An eye
You're getting
out.
A couple
Damn,
shots to the gorilla nuts in there.
Just punching him in the gut over
that
and over again.
That gorilla's going back to its bush. Damn, that hurts.
Ow. I'm going to be sore for a week, man.
100 Ryan Buckleys.
No chance. Sook's the only one you could pick at the fan.
Sook is the only
the
one?
The only one that you could pick at the fan.
Ortner's? 100 Ortner's?
Ortner's pretty big.
Ortner's pretty big. Sukanik has him beat, I would say, by a wide margin.
I didn't
margin.
Say that he didn't. I'm
From
just,
a size standpoint.
100 Ortner's.
I don't think 100 Ortner's could take out a gorilla.
Really?
I don't think so.
I think you're
in hand-to-hand combat.
I think you're underestimating 100
I don't even know, like,
people.
So you're rushing this gorilla. You just jump. I mean, you're going to jump on it.
It's an open land area.
He's just going to fling its arm. He's going to knock everybody off.
In terms of just surface area, how many people can get on top of the gorilla at once?
Well,
like
that's
10,
the
12?
Thing about sacrificing, right? You need one person to basically say, this thing's going to kill me, but then 10 others to 15 others are going to jump on my dead body to weigh down the gorilla situation. Now,
how many? I'm going to see if I can Google that. How many humans would it take to be on top of a gorilla to weigh it down?
Why would Google know that answer?
I don't know. Google knows everything.
It's just a math problem. Yeah, if just there do was. The math.
How much does a gorilla weigh? I'll do that.
Like 600 pounds?
You think it's 600?
I'm and guessing. Then if they're, what'd they say?
Are we doing a Western gorilla or an Eastern gorilla here?
West Coast, best coast.
Then they weigh 350 pounds.
Okay, let's do, what's the Eastern?
450.
Let's do that one.
Okay. I'll split the difference, 400.
400 pounds, yeah, we'll go right in the middle.
But they're, 7 to 10 times stronger? What
was that? 7 to 10 times stronger per man.
Now, Ortner is probably 6'5", 6'4", 250.
250?
You think he's 250?
240.
Yeah,
somewhere he's slimming down.
He's slimmed down.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah,
that's 100 of those.
I don't know, man.
That's a lot of weight.
Yeah, but they don't. The gorillas just have the ability with their strength to just grab you and kill you in one pull.
Well, here's the thing. This is where we underestimate.
Yeah,
right. In the I could do it. What we underestimate is the human reaction to the awful thing, and that is there's 100 of us, and it's like what was that Starship Troopers. When they'd go fight those big alien bugs.
You gotta go kill the bugs.
There'd be one guy like, yeah!
And then
he would just get dismembered.
At some point, the 100 men would question the mission.
Yeah, if you saw...
The first 20 die, and then you're down to 80 guys against one gorilla? And it was just like, all right, he killed those 8 to 20 people really easily. Doubt's going to creep in the back of your mind.
Now,
it's one thing to say you're committed to the mission. It's another thing to see 50 other dudes die and still be committed to the mission.
Now, who is the person at the fan that, like, it's embarrassing how bad the fight is?
I mean, you could go a couple of ways here. Probably Schultzy probably would be my bet.
Just corn pops everywhere.
Let's do this! And then he's running at him, and then it just doesn't end well.
You have his voice very high-pitched.
I think when he's, like, kind of getting the adrenaline going, and he's ready to rush a gorilla. He's an a cappella singer, you know? He's an alto, if you will. He's gonna get up there.
The interesting one would be Meringue, because he has no actual parts of his body that are real anymore. So, like...
He's got a makeshift hip. He's got all sorts of replacements.
I feel like he walks with a permanent limp now.
Just constant.
Every time I feel like I see him, he's limping in some way.
At least with his overall size that he's got, it'd be harder for the gorilla to move around. He'd still be able to do it.
He's not very tall.
I think he'd put up a better fight than Schultzy.
Yeah,
I think I'd go Schultzy probably dead first. If we're going fan host, like the order of people dying.
What about P. Harris?
P. Harris is probably number two.
Quick.
Unfortunately, I'd probably put Swag third.
Yeah.
Just
really?
Based on age and overall strength, probably third.
Okay.
Rop.
Ooh, Rop would want nothing to do with
it. I feel like
gorillas.
I could put up a better fight than Rop. Now you're into my territory. Now you're into like me.
Do you think
Buck,
Rop's a dirty fighter? Do you think Rop's biting the gorilla on the neck?
I don't think biting the gorilla.
See,
I am.
I'm biting ears.
Rop's
I don't even know
to
if you
throw
could
the
break
first
the
punch.
Skin with a bite.
Oh, I could.
Yeah. Rop will try to get like the first sneak punch in or the sneak attack, and then after that he's done.
Dude, I would bite the Achilles. There's 10 of us that are going for the Achilles.
The only chance you'd have is gouging the eyes out. The only chance.
You got to gouge.
You got to gouge the eyes out to get
the
Achilles.
Things.
It'll limit its movement a little bit, and you get the eyes out so it can't see where you're coming from, and then you can all gang up on it. But it just is a question of how many men have to die in order to do that.
So your final answer is only 100 Sukanics.
Only 100 Sukanics could do it, and even then, I think probably 87 of them are dying.
Ortner's young though.
Like, he is young,
and I feel like I look at him.
I feel like
and
college
he's partly dead in his eyes. Like I feel
there's
like
a
Ortner
that
has a psycho. In
there's
him.
A little bit of that. He's got a nasty streak behind those
he does,
eyes.
Yeah.
I would say college Ortner, offensive lineman Ortner could probably do it. I'm a little worried about how slender he is now. He's losing too much weight.
Yeah, he's lifting though.
He's away from the playing days. Mm. You know, if you give me left tackle Will Ortner, you got a puncher's chance.
Where am I in this hierarchy of would die? 100 of yous would die pretty quickly at the fan.
I'd say you're pretty high up on the list. I think I'd go Sukanic number one, best chance.
I'd agree with that.
Ortner number two.
Agree.
And then probably you or Dusty, based on your stamina and your speed.
Mm.
100 of you could kind of run around, and if you're in a little place, like, you could last a while.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, you're going to die.
Oh, absolutely.
But you would, I think, hang on a little bit longer, just kind of maybe tiring them out. Maybe you go rope-a-dope strategy. Come get me, gorilla, and he can't quite get you, and he's chasing you, and then he starts huffing and puffing, and then 20 of you jump on its back. It's not a bad strategy.
Trailer Park Sprague would absolutely... That gorilla's going to lose the ability to walk with one leg. It might beat us.
Permanent limb.
But there's a leg that just doesn't work right the rest of
permanent limb the rest of that gorilla's life.
And would you put yourself in the middle?
I'm right in the middle, yeah. I'm so right there with, like, Buck. You know, Buck's a little bit bigger than me, so he'd probably have a better chance.
I don't feel like Buck is very aggressive.
No, but again, I mean, you're fighting for your life. You're in a cage here.
You're right.
100 of you versus a gorilla. Well, not a cage, but
that's
you know what I mean.
Like, gorilla.
You're in a certain confined area. You can't just be open world problem here. So
I knew you'd have good stuff for me on that.
I mean, I saw this. I thought about it.
I didn't know where it came from. I just randomly saw 100 gorillas versus one man. I'm like, oh, we're doing the animal thing.
I think
again.
It just led to a jokey thing of because then somebody quote
the feminist
tweeted
thing,
it.
If that's true.
This
of
is
like,
what's wrong with toxic masculinity and men always thinking they're bigger than nature or something, and everybody's
toxic masculinity.
Just having fun.
Just
having fun.
Could 100 of us beat a velociraptor?
No chance.
I don't know about that.
No chance.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's toxic masculinity. It's called a fun conversation, and I don't think we'd fare well.
We have a early ticker today, Andrew.
We do.
6:30 ticker.
Early morning ticker.
We're going to go to Cleveland. Very interesting times in Cleveland. They're football team is doing incredibly questionable things. I would say they won the draft. Won the draft in terms of being talked about. They traded out of two, and then they took a quarterback in the third round that nobody had in the third round, and then they hopped back in the fifth round, drafted another quarterback. Now they got four.
They got four quarterbacks.
And their basketball team might be the best in the East.
They just won a playoff series by the widest margin in NBA history.
And I don't think anybody's taking them seriously to beat Boston.
That was an impressive level of quit last night.
Oh, that was...
Like, I almost want to give them a standing ovation.
That
like
was great.
That was awe-inspiring.
Tyler Herro said, we're not going down 4-0. He said, you're going down 4-D.
Yeah.
4-D. 4-D. At half. What are you doing?
Well, I think I checked the score on the ESPN app, and it was 32-8 in the first quarter, and I'm like, not watching that one.
My team had open gym, and sometimes I go to it. My wife's like, do you need to watch this game? I'm like, they're down 40. Let's get out of here.
I do not need to watch that game.
Be back in time for the other one.
Let's go watch the meaningful game. It's going
to
be great.
So we'll talk to Andy Baskin, a 92.3 The Fan, over there in Cleveland, Ohio at 6:30. But we start in the association. Dirt and Sprague, it's good to be with you. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. Let's start next on The Fan. Welcome back in, 6:21. We're done clowning around. No more gorillas versus 100 men talk.
Let's get to serious things.
Thought this was a sports station.
What the hell's the matter with you guys?
Every time somebody finds out what I do, I get nervous.
They tune in. That's the first segment they ever listen to.
I
met that guy. He said he's on at 6. Let's see what his show's all about.
I had a parent ask me what I do, and I was like, oh, I do this. What kind of genre of radio?
Sports.
Sports. What time? 6 to 9.
6 to 9. Don't listen.
I'm going to tune in. Oh,
don't do it. Don't
we
do it.
We talked about cocaine today. So
don't do it. I'll never forget one of my first Winterhawk TV games. The producer, a legendary television producer in the Northwest, asking me, what do you do, you know, outside of calling Hawks games? And I said, I work in radio. And then I told him the show, and he said, are you guys the ones that play the turtle sex sounds? I said, yep.
Thanks, Greg.
That's us.
That is us.
Now, he found it funny, so it ended up being a big hit. But you're never quite sure how that's going to be
received. Yeah, not everybody does.
Not everybody finds that kind of stuff funny, you know?
But you know what I don't find funny? The Houston Rockets offense. Actually, I do find it funny. Yes. Their late game execution was terrible.
It was so bad last night.
You know, of all the players, if I tell you a player commits a stupid, just dumb foul at the end of the game from three to give Jimmy Butler three free throws when clearly his ass hurts.
His butt does hurt.
Aren't you picking Tari Eason to have committed that foul? Not like year 6 Dylan Brooks?
Yeah.
Because Tari Eason was committing all kinds of stupid stuff in that game. Dylan Brooks is way too old and experienced in that league
to commit that foul.
To do that.
Yeah. I would tend to agree.
And that's their problem. That's why they're going to get eliminated.
Eason had another one on it. Was it at the end of the third quarter on an inbounds pass?
He had a bounce
pass
play from baseline.
Just
like, what are you
tackling
doing?
Him to the ground.
You just threw him to the ground.
And Udoka's like, what? Why? There's 8 seconds left in the quarter. Why would you give him free throws here? What the hell are we doing?
There's not a more obvious team. Like, I did this with Swag last year. When the Thunder were really good, we were talking about, should they trade? And Swag's like, you got all this stuff. You should trade. Go all in now. And I said, I kind of disagree. I want to see what the young guys are. The Houston Rockets, I think it's a universal agreement. they better make a trade or yeah. they will be the Grizzlies.
Yeah, you will quickly turn into a team who doesn't have a necessary star and maybe not enough overall talent to beat teams like this in the playoffs.
They're immature. They have too many stupid moments. They don't have a absolute go-to offensive player.
No, Sengun and Van Vliet were good last night, but that's not, I mean, they're not one and twos that are going to lead you to a title.
No, Sengun, like, he's good, but then he has so many bad-looking shots that you're like,
so many of his things are just kind of flipped up in the paint where you're just like, what are you
it's a hope and a prayer.
Trying to do there?
Right.
It's kind of a hook shot behind the head. His shot at the end of near the end of regulation was one of those that Draymond got the stop on.
You're panicked.
Like, just, all right, forcing that one up. Okay.
And then Jalen Green is just going to be the, I score 29, and then I score 2, and then I score 34, and then I score 6. Like,
then I disappear.
There's maybe not a more obvious team in the league that has to make a trade to go get somebody. And I don't think Kevin Durant actually solves their problem.
Yeah, might
not. I'd be aiming higher for that.
I mean, at this point, too, you don't know. I know we're used to watching Curry and LeBron do it. And Kevin Durant didn't have a terrible year this year.
No, he had a good year.
But I think there's also that question of, is that your title window? Because if you go get a Kevin Durant, you just don't know how long that window's going to be.
He's not a leader, though.
I mean, he's not a leader.
Don't we know that about Kevin Durant?
Like, I
Kevin
would tend
Durant,
to agree with you.
All-time great talent, great scorer.
One of the best offensive players ever.
Absolutely. Brooklyn, Phoenix, like, there's, I don't know, there's a leadership thing there that I don't think has been evident. And I don't understand why people don't call that out, but Kevin Durant's a great player. I don't think he fixes the problems. They need to aim higher.
You do need to aim higher. They got a lot of assets to play with.
They do.
They got a lot of young players on their roster that they could part ways with. I mean, that series is now over. You're not going to win 3 in a row against Golden State.
They're cooked.
And it just, you know, one of the takeaways I did have watching Warrior games, I don't know if they've had that court every game. I can't remember. There's been too many playoff games. That court is too much.
They have not had it every game.
That court's just like,
it goes with the jerseys.
I know. I just, what are we doing? Too much going on there. That was my first
takeaway.
There's
a bridge on the court.
Turning the game on, I'm like, and this is coming from an Oregon fan who had to suffer through one of the worst courts in basketball for a long time, and it's still bad, but it's gotten mildly better. Too much for an NBA court. I felt like I was watching an IST game, and this is the real playoffs, not the IST. But having Jimmy Butler back, it just was remarkable the impact that he had on that game. Not just necessarily scoring, although he did have a massive second half. His playoff Jimmy, dude. How many times were they, you know, withering at the end of the shot clock, and here comes Jimmy Butler, I'm going to drive, okay, somebody cut, easy layup. I just, the way that he helps people around him, the balance that he brings offensively and defensively, I know they won the game without him because Steph was unbelievable, and Steph had a good night, not a great night last night, but a good night. Having Jimmy Butler back, I think you would argue, was the difference in the game last night.
Here was Steve Kerr's thoughts on Jimmy Butler's performance.
We had to have him. I mean, if this were the regular season, he'd probably miss another week or two, but it's the playoffs, and he's Jimmy Butler. So this is what he does. The rebound at the end was just incredible. The elevation, the force, then of course knocking down the free throws to clinch it. Jimmy was amazing.
If I give you guys this, and then we'll go to Andy Baskin for an early ticker today. If I tell you it's a Golden State Minnesota second round, who are you guys taking? Because I'm taking Minnesota, maybe.
I'm taking Minnesota.
I would take Minnesota. Series. You think it'd be a short series?
It's weird. I don't mean to sound disrespectful. I do respect and love watching Steph Curry play basketball. Playoff Jimmy is great. Draymond, as he said last night, he's a habitual line stepper. He's just always going to toy in the I might get ejected game.
Yeah, he's insufferable.
Podziemski was awesome last night.
Yeah.
My God.
He kept finding him. He kept knocking down open threes.
The Warriors
I just think they're too much depth in Minnesota, and they're too big.
Yeah.
They're too big.
Might be the problem for sure.
That's the case. If Gobert is in, he presents a matchup issue for them to try to sort out.
Now, he's not going to follow Draymond out to the three. That shot.
Shoot it.
Yeah, go ahead. Far away,
Draymond. So, wants you to do.
And I just think, they could turn up the pace. I think in that case, the Warriors would have to slow it down and try to be more methodical. I don't think they can go up and down with Minnesota for 6-7 games.
I thought that game was a lot of fun last night. It was intense. It was close.
Did anybody think the Van Vliet shot went in, or am I just stupid?
No.
The way it hit the net, I'm like,
oh, you thought it actually went in?
Yeah, I was in bed half asleep, but it was like, I saw the net move, and I'm like, wait a minute.
It was late.
Nobody else was moving. Like, oh, okay, it didn't go in. And then they showed the replay that it was short.
I grew up loving Gary Payton, and so I kind of did this weird thing where I rooted for the Sonics. I did. I got to tell you guys, to be honest with you. When the Blazers are good, I root for them, but I root for the Sonics, Gary Payton. I had Rex Chapman PTSD hit me on that shot when he shot it.
Did you?
I'll never forget that. Kid just throwing it ahead, Chapman fading out of bounds, throwing it up.
That ended up being a pretty good, considering what, 4 seconds with no timeouts left, down by three, that ended up being about as good a look as you could get.
There's a lot that can happen between now and then, but if the playoffs, which I think have been really good, and that game was fun, if the playoffs go the way I think they will, and I was wrong on this series, so I'll just tell you that right now. I thought Houston was going to win the series. I think we have got a spectacular SGA and Edwards West Finals.
That's going to be pretty damn fun, man.
It's on my. I know we did this last year. Pretty got a little ahead of ourselves.
We did.
Anthony Edwards is on a mission, and the Oklahoma City Thunder didn't even get anything from SGA, and they easily swept that series.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with the Clippers and the Nuggets. I don't want to be disrespectful. Maybe playoff Jimmy will have something to say about this in the second round against Minnesota.
I think the second round series could be pretty good. I think
I'm looking forward to it.
Minnesota Golden State, I don't disagree with your takes, but I think that's a fun series. And then the Clippers likely, it seems like, but who knows? Maybe Jokic carries them. Getting a run at OKC would be fun.
Well, there's a guy in Cleveland I want to talk to, Andy Baskin, 92.3 The Fan. Most interesting NFL draft team, and nobody buying the Cavs to win the East still? Hands up? Not a lot. We'll do an early ticker next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Yeah, an early Daily Ticker today, which is presented by Pelican Brewing Company. With the turn of the warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment you can see. It's an early ticker because we got to talk to our good friend Andy Baskin at 92.3 The Fan over there in Cleveland on Twitter at Andy_Baskin. Midday show for legendary radio station over there in the Midwest. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Andy. I appreciate you hopping on. I saw that you had Jerry Allen on your program yesterday, so you got the details on old Dylan Gabriel. Before we get to the football, which I know is a massive story for you guys, why does nobody buy the Cavs to beat the Celtics? Me and my producer do, but my co-host not so much sold on Cleveland's ability to maybe upset the Celtics in the East Finals.
It's all a game. It's all psychological. I think everyone respects the Celtics roster, and I think that's why. And, you know, if you go back, the last time they played in Boston, the Celtics had a gigantic lead against the Cavs. I think they were up like 21, and the Cavs came back in the second half to beat them. But, you know, if you take a look at that game, the Cavaliers really, they came back strong in the second half. They were able to beat them. I think it's going to be a great series. We were just talking about this, like, 5 minutes ago. That's a 6-7 game series. I can't wait to watch that happen, and we'll see what happens. I mean, the way the Cavs played against Miami, you would hope that they could do that in another series. I don't know. Indiana's going to be tough out, even when they get to Indiana. True. But we keep thinking that. And every time we keep thinking something's going to be tough for the Cavaliers, it isn't. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I've always been curious to ask this because we're jealous of people who get to work in NFL markets. You know, we're kind of a one sport town here in Portland. We do have the MLS, but the Blazers are the king, and they suck. They've sucked for a couple of years, so there's not a lot going on there. In Cleveland this last week, the Cavs just won, I believe, a first-round series by the widest margin in NBA history, and they won the game. I mean, they're up by like 80 points last night. If you're breaking down a pie chart of what Cleveland fans care about more, the draft and what transpired from Thursday through Sunday, especially considering the draft that they had, or the Cavs going on a deep playoff run. Like, how do you break down that
or
pie
Stephen
chart?
Or Stephen Kwan as well. Or
I'm sure the Guardians are high on that list.
Yeah. The Guardians will come in third place on that. And the Cavaliers will actually, I mean, it just depends on if the Cavaliers play or not. If the Cavaliers, like today, the Cavaliers will be our lead. But most days, it's the Browns. We've been talking about the Browns for months on what they were going to do and where they're going with that quarterback situation. I just want to know if I'm going to get Pelican Brewing after this because of all the that double IPA looks pretty good. I don't, you know, you guys got me tempted by all the commercials. They're doing a good job.
I didn't mean to hit the buzzer on you there, Andy. I meant hit the ding. Yeah, no, Pelican is a great sponsor, a great friend of the program. We'll have to kind of reach out to them because they appreciate when guests hop on and get excited about their brand.
People get excited about Pelican, man.
Now, I want to ask you, the NFL draft was very controversial. I'd argue the Cleveland Browns, the biggest takeaway, I think, from the entire draft, given the trade at number two, all the way to what they did getting Dylan Gabriel in the third round and then Shador obviously in the fifth. My co-host is convinced that they were forced to take Shador in the fifth round via the owner because he says the video made it look like a hostage situation. Where are you at on the reality of that? Or do you think Barry really wanted two quarterbacks?
I tell you, we are all torn on what happened. The problem that, and I think the reason that everybody thinks Jimmy Haslam wanted him so bad is because what they did with Deshaun Watson. And then he actually kind of took the blame a couple weeks ago and said it was a major swing and a miss. Well, no kidding. We all kind of figured that out. You know, the second we had to realize that we became court reporters and trying to figure out what's going on with his next move and all the lawsuits that were going on with him, and then the failure on the field just doubled down on the whole thing. I think people were kind of questioning and wondering why the Browns took Dylan Gabriel. And then once, I got to be honest with you, he knocked my socks off on the interview he did on the Browns radio network immediately following after being picked. And I was like, okay, I get it. I see it. And, you know, around here, we all watch Ohio State too. And, and so we had the opportunity to watch him not once, but twice this year to really kind of dive in to see what he was all about. And I think after a little bit, I think Browns fans kind of settled into Dylan Gabriel and everything was good. And no one on earth thought they were going to take Shador Sanders the next day. And when that happened, I was like, what are they doing? Like, why are they taking two quarterbacks? And by the way, you know, the backup plan wasn't exactly the Dylan Gabriel that people thought that he'd be the next starting quarterback for the Browns for years. They thought, you know, when they made the trade out of the two spot that probably, you know, you're looking at Arch Manning if he wants to come out next year, or Drew Aller, who's from Northeast Ohio that a lot of fans are high on, that's at Penn State. And Drew Aller's rating, I was reading just some of the ratings on him. I mean, they were as big as Cam Ward. So, I think everyone was excited. They were like, okay, they got Mason Graham. Here's a guy that can play, and he's probably a blue chipper and could be playing for the Browns for, you know, five or six, maybe even longer than that. Then they take Schlesinger from UCLA, who is just an amazing story. And you're like, wow, I think the Browns are actually thinking about what they're doing this year. And everyone was pumped by Quinshon Judkins. Harold Fannin's another local guy that they picked up as a tight end. And then all of a sudden, with that last pick, we're like, what? So the crazy part about it is Shador Sanders could be the starting quarterback week one. Who knows? I mean, it's wide open here in Cleveland. So we'll see. I don't know how this thing's going to play out. I really don't.
It's so funny because I'm not even a Browns fan. I had the same reaction. We were doing our show on Friday, and I'm like, I love trading out it too. Travis Hunter is a very unique prospect, and maybe this, you know, ages like, you know, milk left out in summer. But I just don't see it on both sides of the ball in the NFL. And so you get a future one on top of it, and you maybe get one of the best defensive linemen in the draft. Like, I love that trade. I'm following the draft, loving everything Cleveland's doing, and then they just throw the absolute wrench into the plans. Let's take a quarterback back in the third round and the fifth round. You kind of answered my next question there at the end, but I want to ask it anyways. If you were a betting man, where are you laying the money on who takes the most snaps under center next year?
Out of the gate, I think it's Kenny Pickett. I think that Kevin Stefanski likes him. They're going to give him every opportunity, I think, to win the job out of the gate. But who knows? I guarantee you that we're going to be our Browns reporters in Berea every day, especially during training camp. They are going to be counting every snap every quarterback gets to try to figure out who's actually in the lead at any given point. Look, if Shador comes in here and knocks everyone's socks off, what do the Browns have to lose? They're a 3-win team, and they know they've got two first-round picks next year. I'd like to see Dylan Gabriel get an opportunity to win this job. We'll see what happens. I think Kevin Stefanski really likes him. I think, you know, from a mindset and from a team standard, I think Dylan Gabriel could be a leader for a long time. I literally think that they took darts and threw him at a dartboard because Joe Flacco's here too. And one of those guys is going to end up being the bullseye when the season starts. And, you know, if they lose, it's not going to be the end of the world because they're going to have a high draft pick. And I mean, they're in a real tough division in the AFC North. So I've never been this perplexed. I thought I knew everything that was going on. I felt confident that they had a plan and they were executing it to precision. And then they drafted Shador Sanders, and I'm like, who takes two running backs and two quarterbacks in the same draft? It just doesn't happen. It's very Browns. It's very Cleveland Browns.
Very Cleveland Browns. Andy Baskin, 92.3, the fan over there, getting ready for a show coming up here in 15 minutes. Final one for you. Stephen Kwan, top three most famous athlete in Cleveland, true or false?
Top three? Yeah, I'm going to say false.
Yeah, damn it. Yeah,
okay. False. Right. He's up there, though. I mean, people like him, but he's not even number one on the Guardians. Sorry, bro. Yeah.
He's hitting almost 300. Like, it's rarity.
I mean, you know,
he's doing great things.
You're not going to make fetch happen, all right? It's all not going to happen.
All right, I'll stop. All right. Thank you so much, Andy. We appreciate the time, man.
Boys, anytime. Talk to you soon.
There we go. Good stuff. Andy Baskin, 92.3 The Fan, midday show. He's got a show coming up here
about to start
in 15 minutes, so we appreciate him hopping on before.
That's a good life right there. Let's talk about our NBA teams having the largest margin of victory in a first-round playoff series in the Cleveland Browns, who will dominate headlines. Despite their ineptitude for 25 years, you can talk about them 12 months out of the year and just be living fine.
Hour one, entirely the Cavs. Can they get past the Pacers?
Hour
two.
Will they win the
East? Hour two, more football talk.
Oh, by the way, let's break down our Major League Baseball team.
But first, Ohio State football. Might be a dream market for us.
I mean, it's a pretty good market.
That actually
when you
might
think about all the things that are going on.
Dream market. They
sweet spot right there. Just a nice little sweet spot for all the different sports.
Just no hockey.
I loved their... Yeah, I wonder if they dabble into the Columbus... I wonder if they're Blue Jacket fans. I wonder. I'm assuming that's how that would work. I don't know how far Columbus and Cleveland are.
I don't know if they cover them like that.
I'm sure that they don't. But if you were a fan, at least in the area, you got a team in the general vicinity, but I'm not quite sure how close they are. I mean, he hit the nail on the head, man. Great draft. I loved everything they were doing. Taking two quarterbacks in the third and fifth round makes no sense. If you wanted to take...
It was all good till that happened.
If you wanted Shador Sanders, he was there in the third round.
Yeah.
You passed on him, so you clearly didn't want him. You thought Dylan Gabriel was better. Now, look, he's right in terms of what's going to happen next year. They got nothing to lose. They're going to be in last place in the division. The division is tough. Cincinnati should be better in a playoff contender again this year, you would imagine. Baltimore's not going anywhere. Pittsburgh goes above 500 every year. I don't care who the quarterback is. They go above 500 every year.
Not this year.
Praying on that downfall. It's not going to happen.
Have one bad year,
Steelers,
man.
It's got
to happen.
Look at the list of quarterbacks that found a way to win 10 games there. It doesn't make any sense. You can't compute it in your head, but
they
do it every year. It doesn't matter. I could start for them and win 11 games this year. So they're going to be in last place. So long term, it's not a terrible thing, but just in the short term, watching how that quarterback room plays out, who's going to eventually get cut, because somebody's got to get cut. Do you play both rookies this year? Do you play one? Do neither of them play? A lot of questions there in Cleveland.
Very unfortunate timing on that buzzer as well. He complimented our great partner.
Yeah, you did. Our buddies a buzzer,
well,
man.
The buzzer's right next to the ding, and then the keyboard's jammed on my mouse.
Been sick for a week.
Scrolling over. But I'll tell you right now.
That was a great shout-out. We got to get that guy some Pelican.
I told Swag that already.
Let's send him some Pelican.
Yeah. We got to send him something.
We got to give him. He wants a double IPA. We'll give you a double IPA.
Our fine friends at Pelican Brewing Company sponsor the Daily Ticker every day. It's the return of the warm weather season, so Pelican Brewing bringing back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment you can see. Thank you so much to Pelican and Andy Baskin. We got a lot more to get into. I got a general manager, hot and steaming mad at radio hosts to get to at the top of the hour.
What did we say about Joe Cronin this time?
I don't think Joe Cronin's mad at... Well, he might hate you.
I think
you're attached to me.
I think if Joe and I sat down, we'd get along great.
You're like a weird tumor. There's just like, you know, this bump on your body won't shut up. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do?
I think I'm more like a goiter. I think I'm more goiter than tumor. I don't know. I'm not cancerous, but I'm there. Like, you see me.
So this radio show is Frank Beamer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You're a legendary coach, and then I'm that, like, what's going on his neck? What's that thing?
Back with more on The Fan. ESPN's playing a fun game on their morning programming where they ask a question. Can the Lakers win three straight? And Monica McNutt has to say, that's McNuts. No, they can't.
Is it McNuts or is it not McNuts?
It's great. I love that she plays in the last name.
You have to when that's your last name.
I'm going to play a game with you.
Ooh.
And then we'll get to the general manager that was hot and bothered by a radio host in Buffalo. Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Dirt or clean? The NBA wants Anthony Edwards to win his first championship the most of all the players in the playoffs.
It's clean right or wrong?
Dirt is right.
Dirt is right?
You're dirt.
I'm dirt, okay.
Clean would be like, nah, we're going to wipe that away.
All the players in the playoffs to win his first ring.
Well, I'm asking you this sincerely. What, if you tell me the series that are currently standing go how we think they're going to finish, right?
Yeah, like
if you tell me LeBron
alive,
is eliminated.
Like, yeah.
The East could be done today. What? The first round.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. So the East first round
could
be
done.
Yeah,
if you get the Knicks win and the Pacers win and the Celtics win.
By the way, the Pacers absolutely going under the radar of could make things interesting.
That's going to be a fun series with Cleveland. That's going to be fun.
Who does the league want the most if Braun is eliminated, the Lakers are out? Because I think you can make a real argument. Stern and the Overlords are sitting in New York going, it would actually be fantastic if Anthony Edwards got the championship.
I don't even know if it's close. Like, I'm just looking through who else is left. If you're taking Luka off the table because they're down 3-1,
LeBron. I think LeBron would be bigger than Luka.
But the question was winning their first title.
That combination,
it would be
Luka's
first title and the next, you know, handing of the torch over for the Lakers organization.
I'm just generally asking, not even first title, like Boston repeating.
I think Anthony Edwards winning would be the biggest deal for the NBA. I do. I think he has the attitude that you need to be a superstar at the next level. Like, we already have a listener who's like, can we not do the MJ comparisons again this playoffs?
No.
I get it. I understand.
Well, you gotta remember,
everybody got a little over their skis, and he was hot.
Hold on.
Was all that.
Can I just say, fair, by that listener, when we did that, that wasn't like he's as great. It was just when you watched him.
The aesthetics of watching him reminded you of watching a Jordan.
He has a lot of MJ aesthetic. That doesn't have to mean any more than just that.
He's got a lot of that. I don't want to be your friend. I want to rip your heart out. There's a killer instinct with him. All the cliches that I could utter in a 30-second span. I don't even know if it's close. I think the summer that he had, going to the Olympics, the documentary, the viral clips, the player that he was last year in the playoffs, I think it would be an amazing story for the league because, one, it would continue the streak of not having a repeat champion. So that would be, what, 6 consecutive years if Minnesota were to win?
6 or 7.
6 or 7, yeah. Somewhere in that range. So once again, a repeat champion wouldn't be able to do it. And you would look at the league again next year, despite Minnesota winning it all, you would still say the league is essentially wide open. And so I think it'd be great for the NBA if a random city like Minnesota's never done anything, man. They've been irrelevant their entire existence.
You think they want Ant over SGA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I do. Okay. I think he's the American-Canadian thing. I think it's a little easier for them. I don't think SGA, like, you know what he sounds like?
He's way more interesting
and
way more entertaining to watch.
Edwards has more personality than SGA.
I mean, I don't mean this to be a fact. He is more entertaining to watch than SGA.
Yeah.
SGA is an incredible player. Yes. I'm not taking, he's an MVP this year. That's fine. But if you say, hey, Dirt, you can watch Anthony Edwards play or SGA play, I'm taking Anthony Edwards every time.
And we all thought that series was over because we thought his knee had torn.
Yeah.
Right? In that game when LeBron was going for the ball and he got kind of, his leg got caught.
It didn't look good, man.
By the way, an all-time underrated move that happened during the offseason, Anthony Edwards, he had a child with a woman.
He did, yeah.
And he basically was like, how much is child support? Here's the lump sum of 18 years. He was just going to pay out the 18 years worth of child support
up front. He did it up front.
It's like $2.5 million or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it's like, here you go.
50 grand a month or
I ain't
whatever
doing
the
this
price
every month.
Is.
Here yeah. you go. Here's here the you lump go. Sum.
This will take care of you for the next 18 years.
Now,
you handle the money however you want to handle it.
I don't know if she actually accepted it that way.
But Do they have a choice? If you offer the lump sum, can they say no to that?
It's like a lottery ticket.
I don't know. I've never dealt with child support. I'm not sure.
But I don't have know. To. Would you take the lump sum?
I mean, she'd be smart to take the lump sum because then you can invest it.
If
somebody gave you
that total, though.
Yeah, you get taxed on the total, but if you're smart investing it, you'll make the money back in the long run over the next 18 years. You got 18 years?
What about you assume everybody in America is great at investing money?
I mean, I'm not saying that they are, but I'm saying if somebody gives you $2.5 million, like, that's your, you know.
Do you know how irresponsible as a country we are with money?
Very irresponsible. Yeah, well, you know, you're not wrong there. People are expensing Coachella tickets. I'm going to put this on layaway.
You're out here like, well, if you divest over 8 years at...
just a simple money market account, you'll be okay.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm sure everybody just goes and gets a money market
account.
$2.5 million.
That's
sure. Okay. Loaded second hour, a general manager in an NFL team pissed off at the radio host. We'll get to that. Kickoff hour number 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.